reading, the first part from John 11, and we're reading verses 1 to 27, the death of Lazarus, and Jesus, the resurrection and the life.
The death of Lazarus, John 11, verses 1 to 27. A man named Lazarus, who lived in Bethany, was ill. Bethany was the town where Mary and her sister Martha lived. This Mary was the one who poured the perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was ill. The sisters sent Jesus a message, "Lord, your dear friend is ill." When Jesus heard it, he said, "The final result of this illness will not be the death of Lazarus. This has happened in order to bring glory to God, and it will be the means by which the Son of God will receive glory." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, yet when he received the news that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. Then he said to the disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "Teacher," the disciples answered, "just a short time ago, the people there wanted to stone you, and you were planning to go back?" Jesus said, "A day has 12 hours, hasn't it? So whoever walks in broad daylight does not stumble, for they see the light of this world. But if they walk during the night, they stumble, because they have no light." Jesus said this and then added, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I will go and wake him up." The disciples answered, "If he is asleep, Lord, he will get well." Jesus meant that Lazarus had died, but they thought he meant natural sleep. So Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, but for your sake I am glad that I was not with him, so that you will believe. Let us go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us all go with the teacher so that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been buried 4 days before. Bethany was less than 3 kilometers from Jerusalem, and many Judeans had come to see Martha and Mary to comfort them over their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "If you'd been here, Lord, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask him for." "Your brother will rise to life," Jesus told her. "I know," she replied, "that he will rise to life on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And all those who live and believe in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she answered. "I do believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Blessed be the Lord.
Dead or alive? Going back to my school days, I can just about remember there being a chart on the wall containing pictures of all the kings and queens of England. I imagine it would have been a history lesson, and it would have been about long dead monarchs who may have been powerful but now seemed largely irrelevant. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, when we remember Jesus the King. He is quite different to any other king who ever lived, not least because his authority extends over death itself. Our story from John's Gospel records part of the final stages of Jesus' public ministry before moving towards his crucifixion, and it reflects on his power over death in the raising of Lazarus to life. And the purpose of John's gospel is that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. In verse 25, Jesus says that he is indeed the resurrection and the life. But ironically, this sign that brought Lazarus life only hastened Jesus' death. Well, our reading starts near the end of Jesus' ministry, and he returns to the district where it all began and to the place of his baptism. It was Bethany on the east side of the River Jordan. And it was here that Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, lived. And Jesus had no doubt spent many happy times there, often enjoying the hospitality of his friends. But now, in trouble, the sisters turn to their friend Jesus. And they send someone to tell him that their brother Lazarus is very ill. And what did that person say to Jesus? Good News Bible puts it this way: Lord, your good friend is sick. But the NIV puts it, Lord, the one you love is sick. Jesus responds to the needs of Lazarus because someone went to him on behalf of Lazarus. And although the healing didn't take place for several days, it was set in motion the moment Jesus was called upon. And notice that the person who went to Jesus on behalf of Lazarus didn't say, the one who loves you is sick, but the one you love is sick. You see, the appeal was not made on the imperfect love of Lazarus, the one in need, but on the perfect love of Jesus. And we can take encouragement that the power of prayer doesn't depend on the goodness of the one who prays, but on the love of Jesus, the one who hears. No, we may be imperfect and not understand the mystery of prayer, but nevertheless, we can be sure that when someone prays on earth, action begins in heaven. And so the healing commenced, even though Jesus stayed where he was for a couple of days before leaving for Bethany. We might have expected Jesus to set off straight away to be beside his friend Lazarus. And his disciples must have been baffled and perhaps wondered why Jesus wasn't eager to get beside his friend as soon as possible. Why the deliberate delay? Well, Jesus, we're told, said to his disciples that Lazarus had fallen asleep. It's a New Testament way of referring to the death of a believer. You know, in the ancient world, death was feared. It was man's great enemy. It couldn't be defeated. But the resurrection of Jesus changed that. And perhaps by saying that Lazarus was asleep, he was taking the sting out of death, saying that it was a natural way for a believer to move from one world to the next. And I believe our word cemetery means sleeping place. But why did Jesus delay his visit? Well, it's been suggested that the delay was to make sure that Lazarus was dead. Because, you see, Jesus wanted to raise him and not merely heal him. So Jesus acted with the bigger picture in mind. a greater and more glorious purpose which his friends couldn't grasp. And that purpose, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. It seems odd, doesn't it, that Jesus should speak of Lazarus' death as being somehow connected to God's glory being revealed. And yet that is what happened in the middle of a family tragedy. The full extent of Jesus' power is seen, and God is glorified. Well, the home of Mary and Martha was engulfed in gloom, but things would go from bad to worse. Not only was their brother very ill, but Jesus, their friend, had failed to respond to their SOS, so it seemed. Then Lazarus dies, and by the time Jesus arrives, he has been buried 4 days. Now, according to Jewish belief, the soul of a departed person remained near the body for 4 days and then left completely. So there could be no doubt that Lazarus was dead, that he was totally beyond help. And then when the sisters heard that Jesus was coming, Martha hurried to meet him. And she shows her belief that God would do whatever Jesus asks. But she adds, perhaps with a tinge of regret, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And Jesus reassures her of Lazarus' resurrection. He says, "He will live again." And Martha responds by saying that she believes Jesus to be the Messiah. And when her faith was tested, she was not found wanting. Now we pick up the story as we read from John 11, verses 28 to 45. Jesus weeps and Lazarus is brought back to life.
After Martha said this, she went back and called her sister Mary privately. "The teacher is here," she told her, "and is asking for you." When Mary heard this, she got up and hurried out to meet him. Jesus had not yet arrived in the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. The people who were in the house with Mary, comforting her, followed her when they saw her get up and hurry out. They thought she was going to the grave to weep there. Mary arrived where Jesus was, and as soon as she saw him, she fell at his feet. "Lord," she said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Jesus saw her weeping, and when he saw how the people who were with her were weeping also, his heart was touched, and he was deeply moved. "Where have you buried him?" he asked them. "Come and see, Lord," they answered. Jesus wept. "See how much he loved him," the people said. But some of them said, "He gave sight to the blind man, didn't he? Could he not have kept Lazarus from dying?" Deeply moved once more, Jesus went to the tomb, which was a cave with a stone placed at the entrance. "Take the stone away," Jesus ordered. Martha, the dead man's sister, answered, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He has been buried 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believed?" They took the stone away. Jesus looked up and said, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here, so that they will believe that you sent me." After he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." He came out, his hands and feet wrapped in grave clothes, and with a cloth round his face. Untie him, Jesus told them, and let him go. Many of the people who had come to visit Mary saw what Jesus did, and they believed in him.
So as Jesus nears the home, Mary goes out to meet Jesus, and her initial reaction is virtually the same as Martha's. "No, I expected you sooner. Where have you been? I needed you." You know, Mary and Martha, I imagine, must have been livid with Jesus. And they must also have been puzzled and hard-pressed to understand. You see, they were convinced that he would have been able to cure their brother had he not delayed his journey and stayed with folk he didn't even know. The neighbours are there consoling the sisters in their time of grieving. And Mary weeps. And Jesus weeps and is disturbed. And he was deeply moved, not only by the grief of Mary and Martha or the death of a friend. He wept over the things that hurt humanity, the consequences of sin and rebellion. And he grieved even more intensely over the things that grieved God. Of course, this is not the only time that Jesus wept. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over his own impending fate in Gethsemane. And he weeps here over the death of a friend. And what was it that disturbed him? Could it have been the unbelief of the people around him who thought that whilst he might have been able to heal Lazarus while he was still alive, there was nothing that he could be done now that he is dead? Or was it that some of the crowd who had come to see what Jesus would do had only come in order to report him to the authorities? You know, the picture of Jesus we have here is somehow very human as well as glorious and powerful. And we get an insight into Jesus's emotional life here that is rare in the Gospels. Here we see the human side of Jesus. And for me, the story proves that we serve a God who can not only raise the dead, but can sympathize with us. And so we can, in our own grief, turn to God and allow him to comfort us. And did you notice that Jesus allows us to question him? You know, Martha had in effect said, "Where were you when I needed you?" And then note too that Jesus wasn't upset with her. And she discovered that in their time of heartache, his compassion did not fail. And from the example of Jesus, we are shown how to grieve. Jesus wept. He didn't bury his emotions, and neither should we. Now, emptiness and confusion, depression and anger are all part of the grieving process. And like Martha, Mary and Jesus, we are prone to weep. But tears don't represent a lack of faith. They just prove that we are human. You see, God gives us tears because he understands sorrow and loss. And he also gives us love. Now, it's been said that the only people who escape grief are those who never really loved. God says, "You will weep and mourn, but eventually your grief will turn to joy." Well, the family and friends are gathered to the mouth of the cave where the body of Lazarus has been interred. And Jesus asks for the stone across the entrance to be taken away. And Martha protests, thinking of the unpleasant sight of opening a grave. And Jesus reminds her that if she wants to see his glory, know the wonderful saving power of God, she would have to put her trust in him. And then Jesus, having spoken or prayed to God, speaks to Lazarus, "Come out." And he does. Jesus' words to Lazarus were powerful and effective. And they were made powerful and effective through prayer, enabling Jesus to raise Lazarus to new life. And this reminds us of the importance of prayer. God is still able and willing to give his life to those who put their trust in him. And then all that John tells us is that Lazarus came out and that many of the people who came to see Mary saw what Jesus had done and believed him. Now, he doesn't tell us how Mary and Martha reacted or anything about the astonishment or excitement of the crowd. And no mention of the first words of the shell-shocked Lazarus standing there, I imagine, blinking in the daylight. So Jesus had done his deed, and we're left to wonder at its effect on those at the heart of the story. God enters into human life to renew and refresh it from within, messy as it is. Mary and Jesus had to dry their eyes. Lazarus was not sleeping or in a coma. He was dead, had been entombed. No, this wasn't just a compassionate human Jesus, gently rousing a loving friend. This was a divine Jesus, demonstrating his powers full cost in human tears and in dignity. And it was a foretaste of what was to come. For in many ways, the raising of Lazarus is only the prelude to the main event. It divided those who witnessed it, leading in a way to both the jubilation of Palm Sunday and the desolation of Good Friday. And it also pointed to the triumph of Easter Sunday. Now, as we appreciate more of the glory of who Jesus is and the full extent of his authority, even over death itself, it must surely produce in us worship, hope, and a determination to see his glory reflected more fully in our world, even in the midst of all the suffering and tragedy. Amen.